WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The popular science writer and evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould died of cancer yesterday at the age of 60. We're going to listen back to a 1989 interview with him. As an evolutionary biologist, Stephen Jay Gould was a formidable opponent of the creationists, but he also challenged the work of traditional Darwinians, which made him controversial within his field. Darwin, he said, had been misunderstood, misquoted, and misapplied. Gould reinterpreted Darwin and wrote about evolutionary theory in his Natural History magazine column and a series of popular books. He became so well known he was depicted in an episode of The Simpsons. Gould's work was honored with the National Book Critics Circle Award, the National Book Award, and a MacArthur Fellowship. He was a professor at Harvard and a visiting professor at NYU. Gould studied evolutionary biology because it gets to the big questions like where did we come from and what does it all mean, but he was careful not to project an egocentric human perspective onto natural history.
Because we're so driven by our need for psychological comfort, solace, etc., to see the history of life in human terms, that we inappropriately tried to take this vast pageant of 3.5 billion years of life's history and tell the story of its changes as though it's all meant to validate the eventual appearance of human intelligence on the planet. In fact, human beings, in the form of our current species, have been around for less than 1 million years, and the whole lineage is only 6 million years old, so we're a tiny little twig, an afterthought. Nature was not made for us.
One of the theories that you've been challenging for many years now is the what you call the march of progress. And we've all seen the picture of the sequence of the evolutionary sequence of caveman to modern man, where there's like 8 or so different sketches, and in each sketch, man becomes a little more erect, loses some of the chest hair, and has a more developed head.
And unconsciously, in the racist tradition, the skin becomes lighter.
Right, right. No, exactly. And you say that that it really isn't that way at all, that evolution isn't this orderly progression.
Certainly not. It's a luxuriantly branching bush whose bifurcations have no particular predictability, and if you could plant the seed and let the tree grow again, it would produce another branching bush, but one of entirely different form and properties, which undoubtedly would not include the eventual evolution of consciousness in human form. It's not a direct prediction of Darwin's theory of natural selection that there should be this kind of predictably progressive order. I think we've read that into the story of evolution from our cultural hopes, nor do most educated people believe the ladder of progress in its naively simple form of a single sequence. But though they don't think they accept that, there are so many of its implications that are current that in a way it still strongly impacts the way we see evolution.
How do you think that image, the ladder of progress image, affects the way we see evolution now and affects the way we see other issues today?
Oh, mainly in terms of how we continually see the eventual appearance of human life as something predictably necessary. Again, we're a tiny little twig of the primate branch of the mammalian tree of the vertebrate lineage, and even vertebrates are here by contingent good fortune, and so all of the later lineages surely are. That's the main way, but there are many other actually curious biases. For example, take your classical story of the evolution of the horse. Everybody's seen that one. Little Eohippus marches into the future and becomes the modern racehorse. But the only reason why we choose examples like that is that we're trying to linearize the true bush of evolution to the ladder of progress. You see, horses have been a very unsuccessful lineage in evolutionary terms. There's only one species left of what was once a luxurious bush, and yet we are driven by the bias of the ladder of progress to seek these truly unsuccessful lineages in the true sense of diversity and tell our evolutionary story that way, because there's only one left. We can see it as the crown of a process leading in that direction rather as the single surviving twig. There's never a classical evolutionary story about the evolution of antelopes or of rodents or of bats. Those are the great success stories of mammalian evolution, the truly successful lineages with hundreds to thousands of species.
So instead of seeing evolution as the slow process of perfecting a species, you say that there's sudden change, sudden, improbable, unpredictable change that accounts for new species and for changes within species?
Sudden is a geologically
right.
relative term. I don't mean overnight.
Right.
But
so does this mean that human beings aren't constantly evolving towards a more perfect species, that we're not always evolving toward becoming more intelligent and more physically well-endowed?
Well, I won't deny that there's a long-term trend, and I don't have a particularly unconventional reading of it. Yes, if you look to the branching off of the human lineage 6 million years ago, of course there's a trend towards increasing brain size, and I assume that has something to do with the value of consciousness. Nonetheless, what you imply in the question is true. The human species, Homo sapiens, us, evolved about 250,000 years ago, probably, from biochemical evidence. The first fossils are 100,000 or so years old, and there's been no change in the physical body form, brain size, or shape of humans in at least the last 30,000 years. We have good evidence. The people who painted the caves at Lascaux and Altamira are us, and that's pre-agriculture, which means that everything that we call civilization from the origin of agriculture on up has been built by people with unchanged bodies and brains, which does testify to the enormous latent capacity of the evolved human brain, but does also indicate that the progressive character of technology, which I would not deny, I don't mean necessarily good, I mean progressive in the sense that it builds towards something that wasn't before, has been done with unchanged brain and body.
Are you challenging the theory of the survival of the fittest, which is not only an evolutionary theory, but it's really become a metaphor for the way a lot of people see their lives?
I certainly challenge it as a metaphor. It's, after all, first of all, it's only a metaphorical phrase to describe Darwin's process of natural selection. In some ways, it's an unfortunate phrase. Darwin got it from Spencer. The word fit is ambiguous in Darwinian theory. Fitness is really reproductive success. The creatures that are successful in Darwin's world are those that leave more surviving offspring for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be prowess in battle or competition in the overt sense of warfare. And that's why so many of the metaphorical uses in cultural change are so wrong-headed. You can't use natural selection as a metaphor to validate war, imperialism, racism, poverty, whatever had been done in the past, not so much now, because those are based on the false notion that those who hold the power of the gun are superior in Darwin's sense, and that's not what Darwin meant. Again, the theory of natural selection is about leaving surviving offspring, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very funny you mentioned in your new book that although you've challenged the whole idea of the ladder of progress in human evolution, 4 editions of your books have used that ladder of progress as the cover illustration. So how did you handle that? Yeah, go ahead.
It's such a common metaphor. These are all foreign translations. Mm-hmm. I have no control whatever over the artwork on foreign translations of my books. I know what happens. The French editor goes to the artist and says, hey, we got a book on evolution. Draw me something. Artist doesn't read the book. What does evolution mean? It means the ladder of progress. So on the cover appears the 4-footed ape leading up to the man, because there's gender bias there too, the man in the business suit. And I have no, what can I do about it? If you read the content of the book, it's dedicated to debunking that metaphor, but one smiles. You can either smile or cry, and there's so many things in life that have those reactions, and if you can laugh, it's better.
Stephen Jay Gould recorded in 1989. He died of cancer yesterday at the age of 60.